Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Welcome, welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, where we do it more than we talk about it. Good evening, everyone, and blessings to all. My name is Carmen, and I do apologize. My name is Carmen, and I'll be your host for tonight. I'm going to play a little song before I get started with prayer and prophecy. Allow me one moment here. I'm getting some. One moment. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I just have to send the message really quick. I have this song, and if you like to follow it and go on YouTube, the song's name is Yeshua. That's Y-E-S-H-U-A. And then dash the Bride of Christ's Wedding Song. And this is in Portuguese, but basically the lyrics to the song are, it's mentioning Yeshua, Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus. And it says, come leaping over the mountains of Jerusalem. So it's like the bridegroom and the bride. I am your bride who is in love. And the reason why I'm saying this is because it's in Portuguese and you might not understand it. So at least with understanding what's being sung, you have a better idea of what the video is all about. It's a beautiful video, and it shows the bride going up the mountain to see her groom. And they're showing a table, a wedding table. Everything is white with the plates and everything, like a reception. And that's sort of like what we are going to encounter when the bride meets her groom. Amen. The bride, the church. So allow me one moment here to play this for you. Okay. One second here. All right. So you can follow that again. Yeshua, the Bride of Christ Wedding Song. It's on YouTube. Allow me one moment. Thank you. That was Yeshua, Jesus. It's a Portuguese song again, and the reason why I played it was because I'm going to talk about something tonight that we need to understand that I've spoken about it about 2 weeks ago, and it was about the topic of jealousy and how it comes at us. And how we may display that jealousy, but the only one that is allowed to have that spirit of jealousy is God. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, we read, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Then in Revelation 19:7-9, it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, white, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." Amen. Amen. So I'm going to be reiterating what I had spoken about 2 weeks ago. I'm just going to go over it real quickly about the spirit of jealousy. It's a dangerous spirit. And I feel that the Lord confirmed something that I was already speaking about, that spirit. And that spirit has many ways that it appears. If we look back on how that definition of jealousy is, the psychological definition, jealousy is a complex emotion that encompasses feelings ranging from suspicion to rage to fear to humiliation. It strikes people of all ages, gender, and sexual orientation, and is most typically aroused when a person perceives a threat to a valued relationship from a third party. The threat may be real or imagined, so that in relationships, you'll see that spirit of jealousy taking place when a spouse feels threatened. The third party will go in there and there can be issues because of that. Someone will feel jealous. But like I said again, only God is the only one that can have true godly jealousy. Amen. And so, so somebody's trying to call me or text me. All right. So both jealousy and envy is the same words that are used interchangeably in the Bible. to mean the same thing. It's marked by an inordinate desire for wealth or possession or for another's possession. It could be another person's house, another person's car, another person's spouse, anything, another person's job, whatever it is. There can be jealousy. So one person can be spewing venom and talking bad about the person they're jealous of, but on the other end, the other person that's receiving that jealousy may feel the attacks, okay? And they could feel that this person is belittling them, downgrading them, maybe trying to stop them from what is theirs, from what God is giving them. And so I gave last week an example of a lady that had the job position she was wanting to get. And in that job position, they gave it to somebody else that was less qualified than her. But she stayed in a peaceful state and didn't get jealous. And when she applied for another job, she got it. And it was better pay and a better position. So we have to stay humble. God is what God wants us to stay humble and recognize that we also have talents and that God has also anointed us, that we don't have anything to be jealous of with other people. Well, this past week, I mentioned that the spirit of jealousy was going to increase as we got closer to God's kingdom coming for his bride. And something happened in the media that, I mean, if you're not watching TV or listening to the radio, you wouldn't have heard of this. But one of the actors in an Oscar got up after one comedian spoke about the wife of another, and yet he had laughed at the beginning, and when he saw the facial expression of his wife, he got up and slapped this comedian. And that, to me, is a spirit of jealousy. And to me, both sides were wrong. Both sides were wrong because God does not want us to operate in those kinds of jokes, you know, where it hurts and brings down another person, because that's walking also in a spirit of jealousy. Ephesians 5:4 says, "Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse jesting, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." Let me read the whole context from 3 to 5. "But among you, as is proper among the saints, that there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or crude joking, which are out of character, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person," that is an idolater, "has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Amen. So what I'm trying to get at is that both sides were wrong. They were walking in that spirit of jealousy. And God had already been warning me about that, you know, that we're going to be seeing these things. And so he's warning his bride so that she will not be involved in any of these things and stay humble before him under his anointing. Okay? And so sometimes when you're seeking the Lord and you're serving God, there you may not notice or sense that anointing in your life, but there will be others that they might not necessarily understand why they don't like you, why they don't care about you. And they're going to be jealous. They're going to be jealous about you, and it's these spirits. And those spirits will try to hinder your walk or your purpose in life. And so this is what God wanted me to have an eye-opener about and have you understand that we're going to see the spirit operating in different ways. And it's for the purpose of bringing down, not to lift up, okay? So with that said, please be on the lookout for your lives to protect yourselves from operating in that spirit, because you're going to stop your blessings from coming to you. It's best that if you know that there is an angry person, a person that is just rebellious or is jealous of you and doesn't want to do things the way that is ordered by God, then you leave that person alone and move on and don't stay around that atmosphere, because those things are catchy. Okay, they just with words can, next thing you know, you're operating in that spirit. So it's best to leave that person alone or move on, whether it's in a job, whether it's in your marriage. Do not operate in that spirit of jealousy. It's not for you to do that. It's going to bite you, and it's not going to be good. It's not good for you. And we also spoke about Saul. Saul operated in that, and he wanted to murder David, but it was because he was jealous of him, because of all the things that people were saying, that David slew his 10,000s but Saul his 1,000s. So there was jealousy there. And so this is one of the things that we have to keep our bride's garments clean and not operate in these things, so we can be presented unto God for that marriage, the supper of the Lamb, okay? So the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so I'll finish with that. And tonight, we don't have that many callers, but if you want to be ministered to tonight, please raise your hand for prayer or prophecy, and I'll take your call. If no one raises their hands, well, then I won't take any calls, and then we'll end the show. I'll take my first caller. One moment here so I can jot down and I can keep track of this. Oh, man. Hallelujah. But it would be nice for you to watch that video again. It is a beautiful video. Yeshua, the Bride of Christ, wedding song. And it shows all the Jesus and the bride going up the mountain. She's waiting to dance with her bride, her groom, and on that feast, that day of that feast. You know, like we have receptions, you know, you wait after that ceremony to dance with your groom. So let's begin. Our first caller is 831-596. Your name and where you're from.
Hi, Carmen. It's Noelle in California. How are you?
Oh, God bless you, Miss Noelle. Give me a moment. I'll put you on mute, and then I'll come to you. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Noelle, Father God. I thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the posture of prayer. I thank you, Father God, for the posture of prayer. I thank you, Lord, because you're illuminating your light upon her in that posture of prayer. I thank you, Lord. She is not weak, but your word says that when we are weak, we are strong. And I thank you, Lord, because I see Miss Noelle in a posture of prayer. And I see from heaven above, like a light illuminating directly, purposely lighting over her. And you're not weak. You're strong. When you're feeling weak, you are strong. And there is a shining, something that the Lord is illuminating you with in that time of prayer. I thank you, Lord, for that transformation. I thank you, Lord, Father God, for being transformed in our time of prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Miss Noelle, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so much, Carmen. Thank you. I appreciate the prayer.
Yes.
Thank you. You know,
I see that. Let me explain what I'm seeing. I'm seeing you like moved over, like within yourself, but you're in prayer. And I see that from the heavens, it's like there's darkness around you, but in the heavens, there's a bright light that is almost shining like triangularly, like a triangle shining down on just on you. And it seems like you're weak in that position. It's like a weak position, like you're bent over. in humility praying, and I see that bright light. You know, like when you see a floodlight that shines really bright. And I there's something about you being in prayer that God is illuminating you in that time of prayer. So you continue doing that, and don't feel like you're weak, because when we are weak, that's when God is strong. Hallelujah. And that's when you're going to see the glory of God. I believe that light is God's glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know,
Lord.
God has really been, he's sort of taken in the last few days. Randy gave a word over my life on Wednesday night. And and he spoke in the spirit, and he said that you know pretty much that court was in session with me, you know what I'm saying, and it was a good thing, you know, on this issue that I, you know, call in all the time, you know, well, right? And from that night, I mean, through today, but mostly Thursday night, Friday, it's like God has like rapidly been moving me in my prayer. I mean, I want to say like graduating, and it's not that in an arrogant way at all. It's like taking me to the better way to do it, right? Yeah. Take me to the better way to do it, and sort of leaving that behind, and then like steps, you know, and it's steps that I just couldn't. Because, you know, because it was, you know, painful, and I was trying to figure it out, like trying to make sense of it and figure it out for a long time. Even though I was praying, it wasn't until really when Randy spoke that word Wednesday night, my prayer, it just lightning fast. I mean, as I went through the day, it's like I would lay this down, like the way I was praying, and pick this up, you know. And I mean, and there's been, you know, prayers that I've depended on and over me that's blessed me. But when, you know, from others, yourself included, thank you for sure. But Wednesday night when he spoke that word, it's like something just went rapidly, you know, and God was moving, not just in the process, but sort of the enlightenment, you know, like opening my eyes and like putting something down, putting that down in the prayer, you know, in equipping me better, you know, and raising me up in it. And I don't mean like glorifying me at all. You know, of course, it was more like educating, you know, in a spiritual way, you know, very easily, like to the next step. And it's been amazing. You know, it's really been amazing. And the way I'm praying in it has rapidly changed with it, you know, in terms of not just like the praying, the normal praying, but the resolve, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, going into it, like praying for the recompense, you know, praying, you know, I want it back. It was stolen. I want it back. Wow. Right. You know, to, and it's been a long time
vindication.
Yeah. You know, I realized something, and vindication is the perfect word, because I realized something, even though, like in that prayer, it changed, you know, rapidly, and I could see it was God, you know, massaging my heart, you know, in my words, you know. I realized too that I think part of what I wanted was a God move, you know. And I thought about that. I thought, what is that? You know, I mean, I wanted God, you know, to in the recompense and in helping, in fixing this loss, right, for it to be something that I could point at and give glory to God and say, only God could have done that, right? I mean, that was absolutely God. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, what is that, you know? And I thought, you know, that word vindication that you used is sort of part of it. And I think, it's a big part of it. And I think the other part is when you suffer silently in a really hurt way for a long time, you kind of want your father to show up for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody that gets bullied and their dad shows up to the ball field,
Well, look at what the word vindication means. The action of clearing someone of blame or suspicion, proof that someone or something is right, reasonable, or justified. So
right.
That's what you were looking for. Yeah.
Yes. And I think that the vindication part is like the nod from God, right? Like, you know, but I realized when I got to that point in praying, because what I found myself doing was, I don't know if you've heard anything, I'm sure you have, you know, anybody that's had anything like traumatically unfair or bad or sad or at a cost that shouldn't happen, you know, you can kind of make yourself crazy with going over it and over and over it, you know, in your head, you know, trying to make sense of it, you know, and you want somebody else to say, you know, to nod, you know, to say, that was bad. That shouldn't happen, right? You know? And I found myself when I was praying that God showed me that I didn't have to convince him. I didn't have to, like, sort of be the accuser, you know? Like, and then they did this, and then they did that, and it cost me this, and then it, you know what I'm saying? Because it bothered me a little bit because I had been forgiving and forgiving and forgiving, and I found myself when I was trying, I found myself trying to make my case with God, right? And God showed me that his remembrance, you know, that he was there. He heard it. He saw it. He was with me. You know, I was praying through it. I didn't have to prove my case to him. You know, I mean, there was just such a peace that I thought, oh, because I feel like, hey, if God doesn't get it, all hope is gone, right? I mean, nobody gets it. Because, you know, it was something that was a behind closed door, you know, thing, you know, so, but God gave me peace in that, you know, it was just that he's got a remembrance of everything that I've gone through, you know, and I don't have to, you know, bring it up to him and make my case over and over, you know, and that helped me because then I was able to shift in praying different, you know, and not like feeling like I'm the one in court, because God is, Jesus is, you know, on my behalf. And they don't need my notes. But, you know,
that's what makes sense. Maybe the darkness around and then that white, bright, like a floodlight hitting you, in that time of prayer where I see you, you know, like hunched over, like in a position of prayer, and God is that white light is God's glory. God is intervening. Yes. He's hearing. He's hearing.
Amen.
I felt like it was coming from heaven down onto you. That's what I was seeing. And so there's a scripture that says in Psalm 26:1, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. And there's many more scriptures on vindication. It says Psalms 135:14. That one's a good one. For the Lord will judge his people and will have compassion on his servants. Psalms 34:6, he will bring forth your righteousness as the light, oh, and your judgment as the noonday. Whoa! Wow!
What was that?
There you go. Psalm 37:6. That's what I was seeing. That's what I was seeing.
That's the one.
I just picked up the word vindication, and then I look for the scriptures. Psalm 37:6, he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Wow.
Thank you, God. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Oh, wow. I couldn't have said that. I didn't set that up. That was like, oh, wow.
That's amazing. Isn't that great? That's amazing. I wrote that down because I'm definitely going to go back to that because that was just like a wow. But, you know, it's like God is, he's there for us like that, you know, and it's amazing because we know, a lot of times we know, you know, but when we get, in troubled waters, or, you know, emotionally, or, you know, whatever it is, we get scattered, you know, and I mean, there's times where, I think you prayed for me last week or the week before, and it was a scripture like that it was how to pray. It was how to pray. We were talking about how to pray. I don't remember, and it's like, I could have told that to somebody else, you know, just because, right? I needed to hear it from you, you know. I needed to hear it from you because it just wasn't in my wheelhouse, you know. I was looking, mm-hmm. I was just too panicked or too off track, or you know, I needed to hear that from you, you know, or somebody else, you know, that was, you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, you're right, you know, like how could I be praying, not even like, you know, what happened? And I think somewhere in my battle, I think I dropped all my weapons, got knocked out of my hands or something.
I think we were talking about Ephesians 6 about we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And then it was talking about the prayers, the many kinds of prayers, different prayers.
Yes.
That's what I think we were talking about last week.
Yes, and it was such a head turner for me, you know, spiritually, because it was a remembrance that I needed to hear, you know. It's like when somebody quotes you a scripture that you've heard, mm-hmm. you know, you might have quoted it to somebody yesterday, right? But you're in need,
yeah.
or you're in a place, and somebody speaks that word, and it's like you're hearing it, you know, at a magnitude times 100, because that's the word that your spirit needed right then. You needed to hear that right then, and it had a power, you know. And you think, my gosh,
that power,
you know,
is growing. the anointing that breaks the yoke of whatever is keeping us under that bondage, of whatever is keeping
mm-hmm.
us, you know, not free. So once that anointing
yeah.
hits, then, I mean, you could, then that's the difference between speaking the word without the anointing, speaking the word with the anointing. And the anointing
yes.
is God
yes.
that comes
yes.
in and takes it and then breaks whatever it is that's holding us captive.
Yeah.
Amen.
Exactly.
That's him. He's the light. He's the light. He's our righteousness.
Amen.
He's part of that armor.
Oh, you know what it was? Okay. It was that, right? And you had seen, like, you know, different plants coming up, and then you saw some flowers coming up. And you were talking about seeds. And that was very significant, because I had other word that was similar from Randy, I think it was. Yeah.
Really?
Between me and Randy. Yeah. And so then you said something about, well, you know, something Miracle-Grow. And I started laughing, right? And you said, why are you laughing? And I said, because the Miracle-Grow is the word with these, you know, I mean,
yes.
you know, the you know, God is the Miracle-Grow, right? Oh, that's what
yes.
it was. I was telling Randy that God had shown me a while back, but I was in a season where I was like needing my business to go to the next level. And
mm-hmm.
I had taken it to a certain level that wasn't productive because I wasn't doing the next things. And so, you know, I was like wanting these things to supernaturally just like, you know, fall into my, you know, inbox, right? You know, I mean, I was trying. I just needed the coaxing, you know. And so I remember God praying to God, and God, it was just like God was speaking to me as much as anything for me. Show me the seeds you want me to bless. And I thought, well, oh, I'm not really sowing those seeds. You know, I'm wanting the fruits, like, right? Oh, send me the business, God, right? But, you know, and it's like God, it was just like, it wasn't a rebuke, and it wasn't anything like that. It was like a love thing, you know? Like, you know, like sow the seeds in your business, you know, whether it's the marketing, whatever, you know, show me what you're doing there that you're asking me to bless. And I thought, wow, I mean, that was probably 13 years ago, and it's just like a yesterday type of memory of it, you know. And I had brought that up, and I had said something to Randy about it, because there was all this seed, you know, and that was part of it. And so, like, just 2 days later or the next day, you said that about the seed and then the miracle grow, you know. So I just love when God does that. I love it when he ties things together and they bloom, you know, and you see that.
Well, the seeds were already in your life because of the word of God. God's word is God's the seed in our life.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
What you needed was the miracle grow of God. Sometimes God has to, that's the anointing that helps it to grow when it wasn't growing. So, sort of like our plants, that when we use that miracle grow, there's a product that's called that. When we use that miracle grow, it just like really helps your plants like grow in a way that they wouldn't normally grow with just plain water. So, you know, the washing of the water of the word is God's seed. It's already in you. So God is doing something in you through that time of prayer. That anointing is coming in, and then it's helping that what's already there to come forth. That's what it is. And I see that. I see God's anointing in that time of prayer because you're seeking him. And as we draw nigh to God, God draws nigh to us. As we move closer, he moves closer. And so there's a meeting place, a meeting point when we're drawing close to him. At first, we don't see it, but we continue seeking him. And then there's a point of that, finally, you know, that the two meet, you and God meet. And that's where things start happening, you know, but we can't stop.
Amen.
We can't stop because we don't see it right away. That's part of walking in faith. So,
amen.
I believe that, you know, this time of prayer is doing something amazing in your life. Don't stop. Continue doing that because God is doing something right now in you. His glory is just breaking up something there that to allow that fruit in your life to come forth. It's already there because you're a believer. You've heard the word. You've hidden the word of God in your heart.
Yes.
Now, God, through this time of prayer, like we spoke about last week in Ephesians 6, you know, that it's through different types of prayer. Let's see if I find it. What I know it was something about many prayers.
I know. I remember it was like the different types of prayers. And I think, and then that was sort of like the different plants and some were flowers. And then it was the miracle grow. I mean, it was a shift for me. I mean, God's just been using PGN and people like yourself, you know, and Randy, you know, just in just such wonderful ways. In the last couple of weeks, I've just been seeing, even though I'm, you know, I don't have, like, I can't say, oh, and remember that thing that I kept calling everybody about and wow, you know, is like done, right? No, but there's things that are done, you know, I mean, there's healings that have been done in my heart, you know, I mean, there's these processes that I can say, that's only God, you know, I mean, you know, I might've thought I wanted to go from 0 to 100, but I'm thankful to have the healings along this way. Right. You know,
yeah, don't we all wanted to go from 0 to 100.
And then we show
so we
the finish line, right, with one arm hanging off.
I mean,
off, right?
It does happen. It does happen on some
yes,
cases,
it does.
You know, like somebody that has a problem with alcohol, one will be instantly delivered, yet another one has to go through a process. God is wise. He's all-knowing. He has all this wisdom. He knows what it takes for a person to be strong, what they need to go through, what he needs to do in their life. And, you know, we get impatient.
It's like us talking about a word, you know, a word that we have given to others, you know, out of the Bible, you know, quoted, whatever, and, you know, prayed, stood on, whatever, in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a season or there's a time or there's a moment that all of a sudden is like everything, you know, it's life. It's the heart, you know, the beat of your heart. It's the answer. It's the whatever
encouragement. I have this in my heart right now. where it says, I know sometimes New Agers use this term. When the student is ready, the teacher arises or appears.
Right.
When the student is ready, the teacher appears. So, I mean, but there is some truth to that. So when we're ready to receive that truth, then God comes in and there's that anointing where it comes in and it does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
But that's what prayer does. It makes us ready. It makes us ready to receive what God wants from us. In that time of prayer, we get out the ground that needs to be plowed up and things that need to be removed and weeded out from that land. We are a garden. I always play this song at the beginning of a show. The garden, right? The garden. And in that song, she's speaking and telling the Lord that she is his garden, you know, to come into his garden. And so some people's gardens aren't looking too good because they're not allowing.
That's funny.
Have you ever
been to all the weeds
gardens,
pulled on my property today? And
yeah,
I had to pay somebody to do it.
Oh, my goodness. But do you see the garden of our life? And we have to allow God to come in and say, okay, Lord, how are we going to do this? How are we going to make this? What are we going to plant in this garden? Because this is your garden. And then he can come in, and you know how a gardener comes into his or her garden, and they just look at it once everything's planted and everything's growing. Oh, the satisfaction of looking at their garden and taking from the fruits and the vegetables from that garden. There's different types of seeds.
My God,
and so,
you just said a lot, because you know what? That soil has to be ready for the seed. That soil has
to
be prepared for that fruit to grow, for that plant to grow, for that seed to grow. And I feel like this last week or two, you know, God gave me a word, pliable, like a week ago, and I looked it up, and it's like, and it was to like make something like where it bends or flexes, you know, like almost, I mean, I want to say massage, but that's not what it was. It was really something that would, you know, bend and this and that. And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound like fun, God. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, the word is easily bent, flexible, easily influenced. So you're easily influenced for the Lord.
It's
easily influenced.
I think that's what it was. And that's when all this prayer and all this sort of rapid, turning corners in the prayer came in. And I thought, my gosh, that's my heart. God has been making my heart pliable, right? So that it wasn't so rigid in the hurt or rigid in my own understanding of how it should look, right? You know, but sensitive to God's word and where God's seeds can grow, right? That heart that's right.
If we have those weeds and those different plants that are not good in our garden, what's going to happen if we sow any seeds there? They're going to be choked out by those weeds.
Well, I just spent $350 today to have them pulled. So.
But you're seeing the analogy of what's happening in a garden with
Absolutely.
What happens with us.
Yeah.
With what happens with us. And that's why I always play that song. I mean, people may get tired of it, but we are his garden. We are his garden. He's trying to prepare us. Like the bride prepares herself with her white dress, making herself without letting the Lord change her and be without spots or wrinkles. But that's our responsibilities in allowing him to do these things, to show us, okay, what do I need to do? He's the gardener, but he tells us how to do it in our lives. This is what you need to pull out.
There's been so many farming and seed things. When I had texted Randy about that seed thing, I mean, there were so many seeds and farming things. I said, you know, I think God has the heart of a farmer, right? You know, and everything just kept coming from everybody. All the words was like seeds and this and that, right? And Mm-hmm. I'm looking back now and I'm thinking my heart needed to be made, you know, that I think the pliable was God doing what he's doing right now with my heart in prayer. And maybe that's the pliable, right? You know, to work
to allow
his way
to do that those changes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's being teachable, pliable.
Amen, amen.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen. So,
thank you.
One of the things that I learned about seeds that you can plant seeds and have them in water, right? And they'll
mm-hmm.
grow. But
mm-hmm.
one of the things that you don't get from putting plants in water and growing them in water is that you won't get all the minerals and nourishment that that plant needs. So eventually,
right.
that plant may start off well in water, the washing of the water of the word, but you need to put it in soil, in a good foundation, in a good place where it's going to grow. And ministry
well,
is that
soil.
Way. PGN is that way, where you're going to get more that mineral for your plant, for your life, for your garden. And so that's one of the things that I heard one doctor one day say, oh, those plants are good, but you need to be careful with the source that you're putting your plant, you're getting your vegetables from, because if they're not coming from a soil-based soil-based plant, you're missing out on many of the minerals. And I said, the Lord has said, that's how we are too, that we are in the Word, but there's other things that we need to also apply in our garden, in our lives, to get other things, other minerals, other things that are important for our lives, that time of prayer,
that's
that time of confession. You know, all these
right.
things, the time of fellowshipping with one another, all these things are different factors that help us to grow, that
and
help us
soil
to grow.
The soil needs to be fed. You know, the soil needs to be fertilized.
Uh-huh.
And with time, you know, the plant will use up those nutrients. And if they're not replaced, then the roots
exactly.
and the plant are not going to have what it needs to thrive and be its best. And so, you know, people continuously fertilize and use mulch and, you know, other organic products, you know, around the base of the plant to keep, you know, like our grandmas used to put eggshells and coffee grounds and
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
things like that in the soil from the kitchen just so that it would decompose and the garden, you know, was alive, you know. And so... it's all beautiful, and it all speaks to me right now, and I'm just very thankful. I'm
and
very
also
thankful.
Another thing that the Lord is also showing me, yes, there's a season for all that stuff to go on, but then there's another season. The Jewish people in Israel, and this is in the Bible. This was what God had told the Jews to do with their land, right? That they were to
mm-hmm.
Plant. You know, and, you know, plant their stuff. But then on the seventh year, it was
mm-hmm.
the land had to rest. The land had to
yep.
rest. And so we have to be the same way, too. Our gardens have to rest, too.
Yeah, I'm in an agricultural area. You know, I'm surrounded, like, right now sitting in my house, like two blocks
uh-huh.
over in at least two directions. It's lettuce fields, right? And
mm-hmm.
so... you know, and then they'll have broccoli and they'll plant artichokes and they'll do this and that. But, you know, they'll rotate crops. And, you know, some of it's because,
uh-huh.
you know, we're a moderate temperature and they can glean more produce, you know, that way. But the other thing, too, is these farmers do the same thing like in the Bible. You know, they're, you know, if they plant this crop and it just draws so much XYZ out of the soil, right? They're not going to follow it with that same crop, more than, you know, without either enhancing the soil or giving it a rest, you know, and putting something
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, healthier, you know, in the meantime. So, you know, it's amazing. I mean, God's heart really is that of a farmer, it seems like, you know. It's, you know, everything's got its purpose and its order, right?
Well, Well, look what God said, you know. And so even today, like today is Saturday, right? This is, they say Shabbat Shalom, and that's a day of rest, rest, peace. Shabbat is rest. Shalom is peace. So that's how they greet one another on Saturday. They have their seventh day of rest. And so we also need to have that time in our lives. There's seasons in our lives that we have, we need that rest. Not only weekly we need our rest, but there's seasons in our lives that we need to go into that. And there's something that God does and reboots us. Otherwise, we go on fumes and we don't have anything
to
give out.
That's right.
We don't
That's
have
true.
Anything.
And it doesn't. And it doesn't always, you know. I think we expect to see evidence of it all the time. Sometimes we're not going to see anything except for we're burnt out. It's a knowing. You know, there's a need. There's just a need to shut down. You know, whether it's shut down and seek God and withdraw from something, you know.
But that's
or,
why that time is needed, because you know what happens then? Then the soil gets replenished. It gives it enough time with the rain, with the snow, with the waters, whatever, and it gives it back the minerals. It lets it, you know, all the life cultures, those microscopic little animals that are in there,
it gives them
enough time to move. Yeah. And I've seen even documentaries where people have taken dead soil where you cannot plant anything. And at first it was really hard for them. But when they followed the natural laws that are in the Word of God, and some of them don't even know that they were in the Bible, but they put back in the minerals and all these vitamins into the soil and did it the natural way, you know, pure water, clean water. And over time, that soil started getting darker, started getting richer. And then they were able to start planting, and they had an amazing crop after that. But it took work.
Yeah.
It took
preparation. It took preparation so that when those seeds or that plant went into the soil,
you don't see any fruit at that time. You don't see the fruit at that time.
That's right.
Later on, but there's something going on.
That's right.
There's something going
on. That's right.
You know, and we don't realize it. And people, you know, look at Joseph. If Joseph had stopped, then he wouldn't have reaped all the things that God was doing in his life later on.
That's right.
And so
that's right.
That time, there was something going on. And sometimes we get impatient and we just want to give up. Sometimes life is hard, but we can't give up, you know. All of us can't give up. We got to continue.
And it's like I think it's with you that we talked about Joseph. If halfway through, if he needed all of that time for God to line everything up in his heart and everything around him for the right thing, and it happened halfway through instead. You know, if Joseph was just like, I'm going to take this into my hands. I mean, the encounter with his brothers probably would have been a platter with all of their heads on it. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. But maybe, you know.
Yeah. But he stayed believing God, but you know what? God could not make him who he wanted to make him. He saw that seed in him. But that seed had to be nourished. That seed, his life had some weeding to be taken out. He was kind of a prideful young man because guess what?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he has the dream, what does he do? He tells his family, "Oh, the sun and the moon are going to bow down to me." And they're like, "What? So you're saying that we're going to bow down to you?" He was a little big-headed. So God had to take him to a little journey.
You know, like a brother could only say, get ready to bow down, bro. It's coming. It's such to be you guys.
So, you know, God had to give him a season of learning, letting his garden be prepared for what he was going to do in his life. Basically, that's what it is. Allowing his garden to be prepared. He had to weed some things out. He had to to do some things in him through prayer. I'm sure Joseph prayed a lot through that time.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure.
Right? So, you know, we watched Shake and Bake. Remember the commercials?
Right.
Years back. It was Shake and Bake. You're shaking and bake. And you had chicken.
Right? Who could have sit in jail?
Shake and Bake.
Sitting in jail, right, for not having done anything, and to have been, like, you know, thrown in a pit by your family, your dad thinks you're dead, and you can't, you know what I'm saying, all of that, who would not sit in that jail cell and think, this is just not right, right, you know, I want God to show up and deliver me. Yeah.
Some people have lived that. They're put in a pit of loneliness, a separation. You know, we're pushing you over there. You're not going to be loved.
Yeah.
We don't want you here. We don't want you here. You're not like us. No, we're, exactly. We're not like you, because God has a different purpose and plan, and he could have the same purpose and plan like that, but you don't want it. But this is where that spirit of jealousy comes in that I've been talking about. And we have to be careful not to operate in it and not to allow ourselves to be attacked by it by others, because it could stop your purpose. It can stop your purpose if you allow that spirit of jealousy, which operates under rage, under murder, gossip, resentment, and all this stuff. It tries to attack you and stop your purpose.
Well,
that's what his brothers did. They almost stopped Joseph's purpose, but God didn't allow it.
And the thing with the jealousy thing is it can be a situation, because I thought about this, because I thought, you know, with what I'm going through, I thought, well, I'm not jealous. I mean, this is like a grief thing, you know, of some really bad things. And I thought about it, and tonight you addressed it when you said, to not have that spirit around you. And then I heard that, and I thought that's where it comes in, because that
you don't
spirit
operate in,
operating.
Stay in humility.
Yeah, that spirit.
It's going to suck you in. Look what happened this week with these actors. One said something to attack another person's, you know, person, and that's a spirit of jealousy, because there's some jealousy there from years ago. And it's been shown on media that this person had jokes before attacking this person. I don't like those jokes. That to me is not joking. That's not,
but,
you know, when
you
you're attacking a person, you know, and making every, and then you will say, oh, I was just kidding. I was just joking.
It was hard
to watch.
It was
just a joke.
It was really hard. I don't watch the Oscars, but I did watch. I mean, there was so much all over the media, right? And it was so hard for me to watch, because, you know, I mean, I felt bad for everybody, and I saw Will Smith so tall and handsome in his tuxedo, you know, that all of his successes all of his life, right?
Yeah,
and
that killed a lot of stuff for him. And
in
that's what
a
I'm
moment,
saying. We have to
right?
be careful.
On national
the enemy
TV.
Will try that.
And the thing, too,
and he did that. He threw his career down the drain because of what he did. He didn't stay humble. He could have gotten up and said, you know, bro, in front of national television, you know, bro, you're attacking my wife, but do you know that she has alopecia and she's suffering with this, and you're making jokes about her? You're hurting her. Don't do that.
Right.
And then went back
that
to his seat.
That was great.
And that would have made
that
guy
been
put
great.
Him in his place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so,
and that's
look,
the danger.
Look what this says. This is in Proverbs 26:18-19. It says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking.
Oh, my gosh.
Proverbs 26:18-19. I'm only joking.
Wow.
So, you know, both sides were wrong. That spirit of jealousy was operating on both sides. And I said it. We're going to see this more and more. And we need to learn to identify this so that we are not sucked into it. Because if you are, you're not going to get your blessings the way you think you are. If that lady that I mentioned, go on.
I was just going to say, the thing is you can not be operating in it, right? And somebody else can be. And if you've not, if you don't know that this thing can be dormant, this thing can be there, and this thing, you know, that it's a, there's a spirit thing you're dealing with, then you could be very surprised in the natural and then react in the natural, you know, and
well,
like
how
with
many,
any other spirit.
How many business persons have not operated in that spirit of jealousy? They lose it, and then what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Their career went down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
One moment
mm-hmm.
of rage, it brings it all down.
Yeah.
And don't
right?
we are not to allow that to pull you, suck you in. If somebody wants to fight you, you remove yourself. It's not that you're weak. It's not that
right.
you're weak when you remove yourself. It's that you
right.
know better. It's that if you engage in this, it's going to take both of you. You know,
yep.
it, either side is going to be a loser. So it's best for you to remove yourself. If you don't have powerful words to come at it, it's best to shut up and move away. Because it's going to try to cause you to look bad. Look what happened with perfect example. And I was speaking about it both these past 2 weeks. So we need to stay
yeah.
humble, and we need to not allow this, whatever the enemy is trying to do in our lives, to stop us from the purposes of God, and seek encouragement from others, because sometimes we're not strong and we need others.
That's
but
right.
we need to be in
That's
fertile
right.
ministries that we're going to be given that miracle grow, that fertilizer
That's right.
to make our gardens grow.
And then I'm gonna get some more garden gloves.
Oh,
everything
love
is a garden.
This analogy, because my dad was a big, you know, he farmed, he had animals, you know, to a small scale,
mm-hmm.
and he still loves
mm-hmm.
that. He's really missing all that, but he can't do that. And I've always learned, for some reason, I always loved that. I learned a lot about that in my latter years when I was a teenager. So that was really amazing for me to see all these things. And so now that I read the word, that's how God speaks to me, through things like that. And it's all in the word. It's all in the word.
That's a beauty. It is. It absolutely is. And you know, but it does speak to us at different times, you know, and that's why, you know, not just our own reading the Bible or our own prayers, but the, you know, but being connected with other Christians, because, you know, we're all alive with, you know, with a purpose in God, and we all have, you know, things God can do through us. And it's such a blessing, you know, what, like I said, like last week when you went there, you know, in the prayer life, it was like, oh my gosh, that's it right there. That's it, you know, and that's the miracle grow on the seeds I'm planting, you know. And
yeah,
I mean, it's just
different things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank
yeah.
you so much. I know you got other calls.
You're
you
welcome.
Are such a blessing. Thank you so much for the prayers
you
and for the,
too.
the good word, and it was and the great talk. I appreciate it. Thank you, Carmen.
I always love you coming on, because you reiterate everything in a clear manner, and you make it really, you're helping other people to understand how God is doing it for you, and for how God can do it for them too. So I love
Amen.
It when you come on the show and you just, you know,
Thank
explain
you.
What in such a beautiful way. You make things so clear. You have that teaching spirit.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
Yes, yes. Thank you are very good at that. God has gifted you that way. Do you need prayer for anything else before I move on?
Oh, no. Thank you so much. I sure appreciate you.
Well, you have a
thank
beautiful
you.
Week.
Oh, God
All
bless
right.
you. You too, Carmen.
And keep working on your garden.
There you go, me and Dana. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, bye. God bless. All right, 321-230, your name and where you're from.
Hi, my name is Ashley. I'm calling from Florida.
Ashley?
Antelis.
Okay, say that a little slower because I can't.
Antelis.
Antelis?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, got it. We put people on mute at the beginning, and then we seek for you, and then we'll come back to talk to you. All right?
That's fine.
All right.
Yep.
I'm going to mute you right now.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lord, for Antolise from Florida, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise your holy name for Antolise, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful picture that you're painting in Antolise's life, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the bright colors, Lord. Thank you, Father. I don't know, but I don't understand this, but I see like a baseball field. I don't know where this came from. I know it was the Lord, but what this has to do with you? It's almost like you're running. You're running. You know how I'm not too good with sports, but this is what I'm getting. Like you're running to the different bases, and you're making it to that last base, and without getting tagged, I guess. I'm not sure if I'm using the right terminology, but I see you making it before before they say you're out. But I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Antolise's life, because you're painting a beautiful picture, and Lord, you're helping her to make it, Father God, and what she thinks that might happen will not happen, because you're giving her the strength, Father God, to make it to where she needs to go. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing, Father God, and it will not be a strike, you're out. You will make it to the end. I don't know how you say that, where they reach the other end. They have to go, let me see, one, I'm looking at it as I'm talking to you. One, two, three, four, like four corners, and you got to go back to the original corner. I believe that God is doing a work in you in the name of Jesus. And I don't know what baseball has to do with it, but in Jesus' name, we just thank you for that, Father God, for what you're showing her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. She's going to win at the game of life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
Antolise?
Yes, thank you so much. Amen.
I don't know what baseball has to do with it, or if you like it, or if it's something that you understand, but I guess it's the game of life, and you feel like you're running, and like you're not going to make it, but you're going to make it. You're going to win. You're going to win at it. Amen.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that, and I receive that. I don't know much about baseball, but I do remember it being something like with the four bases, like you said, and running all of them and then making a home run. So,
yeah, there's something about the four bases. I think it's four bases, right? Yeah. And mm-hmm. So you, each base you go to, there's a chance where they might tag you, and then you're
right.
Out, and you got to get out. But I believe that's what I'm seeing, that you're going to make it. I don't know what the four stages are. Maybe there's something you're going through that you're making, having to go through different things in order to make it to where you need to be. And I believe you're going to make that. God's going to help you. Stay strong in him. He's going to help you. Amen. Don't look back.
You.
Keep on moving forward.
Thank you. I needed that. Oh, I received that.
Wow.
In the name of Jesus.
Wow. Do you need prayer?
I pray over, I don't know, like my next like move as far as career-wise, my business. I don't know. I can't even really get out what I want to say. Just a little bit overwhelmed when it comes to that. I think more overwhelmed than my thoughts, but I don't know.
I have a feeling that that's what it is about, what I had just seen. You're going to make it.
Mm.
You're going to make it. And I saw you looking back like, oh, no, I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to get to it. But God says, don't look back. Look forward. Because if you look back, you're not going to see what's in the next day.
Which is crazy. Okay, so like a few years back, I had quit my job that I was at for probably like 11 years to start to go full-time with my business. And then I moved to a new state. I moved here, and then I didn't, you know, work for 6 months, and then I applied to a job because I felt like I probably should work. I mean, I was starting all over. Like, I got rid of everything that I had. I really was starting all over. So I started another job, and, you know, in the beginning, it felt okay, and then after a while, it just felt like, you know, I kind of was going backwards. Like, I'm like, oh, I don't feel like I should be here. This is what I was trying to get away from. So yesterday I put in my 2-week notice. I actually, when I worked at this job, well, the job that I originally had came from was, it had started to be like very overwhelming. My time was just up there. And it was a lot. And then now, and I was working in long-term care facility. Now I work at a school doing nursing, but I don't know. I feel like of course it was like a purpose for me being there, and I would just feel like it's up. I promise. Like, I was sitting at my desk, and like the Holy Spirit just told me to start packing my things, and then I started looking around like, what am I doing? Like, I was really packing up my things, and then it just came to me. It was like my time was up here. So I took my pictures down, and I'm like, wait, what am I doing? I start sticking them back on the wall. And then the next day, I just took them down again, and I was like, this is it. And I put in my 2-week notice, and I don't know, ever since then, I'm like, oh, been back and forth on if I made the right decision. But I know I did. I think it's just probably, you know, it's because I've had so many changes in this last year, and just completely walking in faith, sometimes it can be like a little scary. So I don't know, maybe that's
no turning back. That's what I was saying. That's why I was saying when you're in that game of baseball, you can't turn back to look at the base you've already been on. You got to look to the one in front of you, because you got to make sure, you know, you got to keep moving forward. No, God doesn't want us to look back. You're going to make it. And I said, you're going to make it in life. You're going to make it in the game of life. That's what.
I was praying, I was asking God. I had just, a couple weeks ago, I had a meeting at a school for my daughter's school, and then she had, like, another conference at her school, and the same day I was praying, like, before I decided to put in the suit, and I was like, God, send me a sign if it's just time for me to go, because I know what I'm feeling, but I just want to be, like, 100% sure. So she came home and she told me she had another conference, but I knew I couldn't make it because I already had just requested a half a day off to go to the one that I went to a couple weeks ago. When she came home to me and she told me, she's like, Mommy, today was embarrassing. And I was like, what do you mean? What happened? And she was like, it was embarrassing. You were like one of the only parents that didn't come today. And I was like, this is the reason why I quit the last job, because I felt like I was spending too much time away from her and not being able to make all the important things. So that was one thing, and it just really broke me down. And then her teacher emailed me and told me that her ceremony was on the last day of work for me for the school year, and it was her graduation the same day. And I was like, oh, it's absolutely no way that I'm missing it out. So I felt like that was another sign. And then we had a refusal of a teacher assistant who didn't want to do her job. So they asked me to do it, which was very similar to the work that I was doing prior that I was trying to get away from. I'm like, this isn't even my job description. And I was like, you know what? This is it. And that's where I came.
So there's all kinds of signs around you. Wow. Yes. Well, God is saying you're going to make it in the game of life.
Yes.
And so you're moving forward. You can't look backwards, and that's what you're doing. You sense that in your spirit, and God's going to be with you every step of the way. But don't turn back.
Yes.
Stay focused on God, because he's going to show you when to, you know, go to the next level and the next level. You're going to win. You're going to win in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, I received that. Thank you so much. That was
wow,
another conference.
I mean, that was a first, a baseball. I never had, you know, some. I saw it in my spirit as I was talking to you. So I saw that, you know, the baseball field. So yeah, you know, that's what it is. That's what it is. I mean, you're speaking it as I had said, you know, but I just didn't understand what that all had to do. And it is the game of life. It's hard, but, and I saw you like, you know, wanting to look back, but God says, no, look forward, look in front of you. Okay?
Wow.
So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for Aunt Lisa from Florida, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you help her in her career, that you help her with that business that she's thinking about, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you help her to move forward and not backward, to not look back, but to look forward. I thank you, Lord, because you are by her side. You are with her, Father God. You are guiding her, Father God. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we thank you for that, Father God. I pray for blessings, more blessings, and divine connections, Father God. People that are the right people that she needs to be connected with, Father God. Open doors, not windows, but doors, Father God. Wide open for her, Father God. Wide open for her, Father God, that she will walk through the doors. Because we don't go through windows. We go through the doors. Because that's the access into the house of where the blessings are, Father God. And we thank you for that open door, for the open doors.
Thank you,
Father God, for each step of the way, every step of the way in Jesus' name. And for her family, for her children, for her daughter, or whether she has one or more than one, Father God, I pray you bless them in school and give them an understanding heart of what their mom is doing, Father God, to help the family. And they will understand, Father God. Just pray you give that child understanding and that better days are coming because of it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, because you provide all our needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you for her family and for her sister in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Do you need any other prayer?
Nothing I can think of, Mom. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, God bless you, girl. And you have
a wonderful week.
Okay?
You too. Thanks again.
Call us in again and let us know what's going on. And we're here to pray you through, okay?
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. God bless. Bye-bye. All right. All right, next caller is 251-229, your name and where you're from.
Hi, this is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Sarah. All right, Sarah, you know the deal. I'll mute you and then I'll come back. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah. Sarah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Sometimes, you know, I don't know why I'm saying this. I'm just hearing, I don't know. I'm going to say it, whether I'm right or wrong. I'm hearing a song. I don't know if it's that you're going to have this. Let me just say it. I hear the song, How Much Is That Doggy in the Window? And I don't know the rest of the song, but that's all I hear. There's something about a pet. I don't know, something about a pet. Sometimes pets are stress relievers, and they help relieve our stress. And I thank you, Lord, because you're helping, showing Sarah the things that help her to relieve her stress, Father God. I don't know if she's supposed to get one or be around one, but I would just thank you, Lord, because you're teaching Sarah things on how to de-stress in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, and I just see like a buckle. You know how when you get home and you unbuckle your buckle and you're just like relaxing? This is what I'm sensing. You know, God is showing you how to relax, how to de-stress in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, you know, when we get home, we unbuckle, we let loose, we relax. And spending time in the Word is how we relax the best. Worshiping in front of the Lord is how we relax. I can't tell you how many times I've been in the presence of God, and that's helped me to relax. But you have to do it purposefully, not, you know, half asleep. You do it purposefully. There's so many things, heaviness that sometimes comes upon us. And when we're worshiping, those things come off of us when we're tired. I thank you, Lord, for what you're teaching Sarah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Sarah?
Yeah, amen. Well, thank you, Lord. All I have to say is thank you, Lord, because He is really speaking through you as His prophet, as prophetess and woman of God, because I just got through a whining.
You got through what?
Unwinding. I had a, and I'm gonna ask you to pray about it too. But I just finished unwinding with some lavender oil.
So
yeah, and aromatherapy.
Oh, all right. Wow. Yeah, they say that lavender does help you. There's something about the scent that helps you to relax. But I don't know, maybe you need to go to the zoo or something, because I heard that song, How Much Is That Puppy in the Window? I don't know, maybe it's looking at the animal kingdom or something, maybe videos of animals. I don't know, but he's going to show you more things, how to relax.
Yeah, it may be the new job I picked up. It's a little stressful. You deal more with the public, and you do more like a fulfillment. It's like you do online orders, and you make sure everything is done right, and everything is meticulously. It's like a woman that I work with. She wants everything in order, like no mistakes. The I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. But she's a good trainer, though. I mean, I thank the Lord for her. But I just am praying for, it was stressful today, I kid you not, and but I'm thankful that the Lord used you as prophetess to say, hey, you may want to purchase a pet, you know, so when you come home, you can let it go.
Sometimes, you know, animals are, I know I watch videos of animals, and it's amazing how it relaxes me, just laughing at, you know, the little nonsense they do, donkeys, and I watch all kinds of animal videos. I love animals, and I wish I had more time for them, like especially the one that I have, but I just sense that God is going to show you different things on how to de-stress. I don't know if it's, you know, with animals. I just heard that song. Maybe it's going to the zoo. Maybe it's, you know, borrowing somebody's pet for a weekend or something, a cat or something. I don't know what is your, but that, I felt that you need to de-stress. You need to de-stress. And worship music helps you to de-stress. When we begin new jobs, they're always a little bit stressful because you're learning new things. But then over time, you do them without even thinking, and it becomes easier. Okay? So the stress that you're feeling now, you won't feel it forever. And it'll become second nature as you're doing it. But you do need to be stressed, because if not, you come with that stress to the next day, and that makes it harder on you, and it makes you want to quit, when in reality that's not going to be forever. That's not, that feeling is not going to stay there forever. So you learn to de-stress. He's going to show you how to de-stress. And lavender is a good one. Lavender,
yeah,
is
it's I think Dr. Chill's lavender, they sell it at Walmart. And they have it, and you can put it in your, you know, your bath, shower, what have you. And the scent, like you were saying.
You could also find it, the lavender mixed in with magnesium, you know, the magnesium crystals. And you could take a bath with that. That actually, the magnesium is magnesium from minerals in the ground. And what it does, it just breaks up whatever tension is in your body. I remember one time I was so tense and so hard on my legs. I did that. I soaked in magnesium, and I put so much because I felt like I needed a lot. I could feel that stuff breaking up inside my legs. I felt my legs were no longer hard anymore. And another thing is taking magnesium internally in a tea. You have these, it's called Calm. I don't sell it, but they sell it in the store. I get the no flavor one, and I make myself a chamomile tea and a little bit of that. You have to be careful, because too much of that, the body just excretes it, and you don't want those effects. You have to build yourself up to it. But taking that right before going to bed, oh, my goodness, it just helps you to relax. Especially many people don't realize that they're lacking magnesium in their bodies. And in order for calcium to absorb in your bones, you need your vitamin D, your magnesium, and calcium all together for them to work properly in your body. And so many people are lacking because they're not having those diets that they're eating, their leafy green vegetables, you know, the spinach of the lettuce and things like that that have that green in them that has magnesium. And so because we lack a balanced diet, sometimes we lack magnesium in our diet, and that helps us to relax. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to that when I'm really, really tense, and I'm mellow after that, and I won't be, you know, tight in my body. So that's another one. They have that with lavender smells. Try getting those. Oh, a nice little, as you read a book or just relax, and you'll be good to go for the next day, for the next challenge.
So you said lavender with magnesium, right?
They sell that, yeah. They do sell that mixed, you know, with that, those scents. I remember buying one day, and it smelled really good. Yeah, you could keep that in a jar closed up. You don't want to keep it where it's humid, because then it starts sweating and breaking down. You want to keep it dry. But then once you're in, you make your tub or whatever, you put it in there, and that helps. That does help, especially with achy feet. Oh, my goodness, it's wonderful for achy feet. You put some of that on, and it relaxes you. Oh, there's so many. God is going to show you that and so much more. So whatever he shows you, come back on and give us some tips.
Well, I'm so glad that the Lord used you, because I definitely just got through. I was like, boy, what a day. And I went in and I was like, okay, I'll use some lavender. You know, just take a long bath and put some salt in there, some Epsom salt, and just, you know, just Calgon, as the old saying, Calgon, take me away.
I remember that. I remember that commercial where they would have a lady in the tub and they would say, Calgon, take me away. Oh, goodness, that's funny. Oh, my goodness, we're remembering all these old commercials now.
Remedy.
That's telling our age. Or the one with the cereal with the Mikey. Give it to Mikey.
He'll eat it.
He'll eat it. You remember that one, huh? Maybe the younger people are thinking, what are they talking about? Google it or YouTube it. You'll see the old commercials. Yeah, you see the old commercials there. A lot of people put that to have memories. That's good, too. That's another relaxer, you know, going and looking at things that make you laugh, that helps you, that also releases endorphins in your body when you laugh. And, you know, you have a good laugh. It's like, you're so relaxed. Even the Lord does that with holy laughter, too. I remember years ago, I was like, very stressed because I was a military wife, and we were all praying for our husbands that were off in war, and we were nervous. We didn't know. And the Lord, in one service, hit many of us with holy laughter. Oh, my goodness. I was like new. I was like, they could slap me, and I was fine. I was like, I'm happy. I wasn't worried anymore because I knew the Lord had everything, you know, in his care. So, but he touched me. And so laughter, even natural laughter, is an awesome thing. And the Word of God also talks about that. That is also a good reliever. We need laughter in our lives. We need comedy, things that will make us laugh. That's also another thing. So here, I don't know who else is needing this tonight. Apparently God knows. There's Proverbs 14:13. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and rejoicing may end in grief. Psalms 2:4. I know there's one that has something to do with about laughter. I know there's one in Proverbs that I love, and it talks about laughter. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So you see?
Oh, yeah.
A cheerful heart is good medicine. So, you know, it's a stress reliever. That's another way of releasing your stressors, you know, you have to have that time to decompress. Because if you don't, all that tension, and then it's hard the next day. But if you learn
I didn't mean to break you. I didn't mean to cut in, but you know, I was like, I'll just take a shower, the Lord led you right on point, because I was like, I just got off maybe about an hour and a half ago, and I was like, I'll just take a shower, no problem. And I said, nah. So I went in and made a bath and just used the lavender and different things of that nature. And the Lord just, you know, the Spirit's like, no, you really need to chill out. So when you said, look at the doggy and the wind.
Yeah, there's something about that. Maybe you're looking at a dog, or maybe a video of a doggy, things that will make you laugh, that will help you have a cheerful heart. It's good medicine for you when you have a cheerful heart, when you laugh, when you enjoy things. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, right before going to bed, I sometimes do that. I watch some videos of animals, and it just cracks me up. Whoever sees me, if there was a little mouse watching me, they would probably think, oh, that lady's crazy looking at animals. But it relaxes me. I love watching things like that with animals. They're so funny, you know, or the things like magnesium. Like today I took some magnesium. I was tired, but it was because I only slept 3 hours. But I did. I did take it, and it helped me to relax because I noticed that I was starting to get tense and my back was hurting. And once I took that tea with magnesium, I was fine. I was fine. So, I mean, it's good on the outside and it's good for your inside.
Mm-hmm. Magnesium. Yeah, that's good. Also, before you leave, could you just, if the Lord leads you, I know it is, but just pray for me that all goes well with the new job, if it's just me, because I was like, I missed the preschool already.
Aww. Well, it's kind of hard for you now because you don't know what you have to do. And if you're like me, I got to know what I'm doing because it makes me, you know, a little nervous. I like to know what I'm doing, and I feel like I'm lost when I'm learning new things. But that's part of it. In all new things, you have to learn things, and you're going to feel like out of your element. So, Father,
yeah.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray for Sarah, Father God, that as she goes to work, Father God, that you would just give her a spirit, a peaceful spirit, that she would realize that she's learning. Give her that shalom, Father God, in her heart, that and to be easy on herself, Father God, that she's learning these things and she's going to forget some things and she's going to remember it. Eventually, it's all going to come together. And before she knows it, instead of walking, she's going to be running, Father God. We just pray that you help her every step of the way, Father God, and that you help her to learn, Father God, in a peaceful way, Father God, and that we just thank you, Father God, that you're teaching her to be gentle on herself. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do and the good report that we'll receive from this new job. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that job. We thank you for your provision, Father God, because this is a way of provision and the new things that she will learn through this job. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Sarah. Well, call us next week and tell us what's going on and how you're learning and all the good stuff.
All right. Well, may God bless you and have a blessed week. God talk to you soon. The Lord says the same.
All
thank
right.
you so much. Okay.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. All right. 919-801, your name and where you're from. Okay. Now, 919-801. Your name and where you're from? Hello. All right. I'll go back to you. Mute you. Oh, I think they had trouble with their phone or something because, nope, they're still there. All right. I'll go to the next caller and I'll come back to you. 919. All right. 225-270, your name and where you're from? 225-270. Yes.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, I can hear you.
I'm calling from Louisiana.
And who's this?
My name is Jacqueline Culber.
Oh, Miss Jacqueline. This is
all
she.
All right.
All right. You know the deal. We'll put you on mute, and then I'll come back to you. All right, and I'll pray
okay.
for you. One moment. Thank you, Lord, for Jacqueline from Louisiana, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her path. She's in the right path, Father God. Yes, Lord. She's in the right path, the path where she's supposed to be walking on. And, Father God, the path that will not get her feet dirty. I thank you, Lord. She's in the right path. And there's some curves to that path, but she's staying on it. She's not coming off of it. She's not being deterred off of that path in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Jacqueline's life, Father God, for that path, that path. Oh, and I hear... that you're on the right path because you're seeking the Lord and he's giving you understanding. He's giving you peace, the peace and understanding. He's giving you peace and understanding in this path and you're seeing things in a different way. It's this narrow path that many don't want to stay on, but I see you staying on it. And there's a lot of temptations here and there and, you know, to lure you there, but you know, that your peace and this understanding that you're getting it because you've been on this path. And I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in her life right now. I thank you, Lord. I pray that you keep her there, Father God. You bless her, Father God, and continue to give her that peace and that understanding in the name of Jesus for what you're doing in her life. Thank you, Father God, that nothing will sway, make her sway here or there, but she'll stay on that path in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that even though there's times that it's difficult, but she is standing and walking in through that path, Father God. You have her there. Thank you, Jesus. I see you walking there in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Jacqueline's life, Lord. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Yes, Jacqueline. Yeah, that's what I see. I saw that, you know, like a path that's like zigzag going here and there, but you're not getting off of it. You're not getting tempted to jump across it. You're staying
Amen.
On the path that God, you know, God has you on. And although there's things that there are may lure you from here and there, making it look all pretty, but you know that's not the path that you're supposed to be on. You're supposed to be on that path where it's going to keep your feet clean.
Amen.
You know, it's sort of like when you get off a path and there's gravel and there's dirt or there's grass, the bottom of your feet get all dirty, but on that path, it's like a prepared path where you're walking on it and it keeps your feet clean. So it has to do with your peace, and it has to do with you knowing and understanding that you have this peace right now because you're walking with God like you haven't walked before, and nothing on the sides are going to pull you away from that. I don't know what those things are, but it's something that's trying to lure you off, but you know that you didn't have this peace before, and that's the only reason why you have this peace is because you're walking in God's ways. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Amen. How are you?
Amen. All right.
Do you need prayer for anything? Would you like to give a testimony?
I need prayer. Want me to have a, to find somebody to move me. I'm supposed to be moving out of my house, and I need somebody to buy it and all that, that the stuff go good. God gave me an offer, but I need prayer that it go through and that I can find somebody to move me and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, so you need people to help you out with the moving? All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'll pray. And then,
that the house, you know, I got an offer that the offer go through for the house and all that.
Oh, okay.
I haven't closed yet.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I was seeing in that path. It was going zigzag, like you were moving, walking through that path.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up all these concerns that Jacqueline has voiced, Father God. Lord, right now she needs help with the moving. We pray, Father God, that you would connect her with people that would be of help to her, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that the sale of her house, Father God, that everything will go well and that the buyers will go through with everything that they need to do, Father God, that everything will be in order, Father God, and that she'll be able to have the house sold and her things moved in the right time. In the right time, and that nothing will be lacking, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you give her the strength, the energy, Father God, to do these things, Father, that supernaturally you give her supernatural strength and energy, Father God, and wisdom to know how to organize things before this move so that it makes it easier when she gets her things in her new place. And, Father God, for anything else that may be in her heart, Father God, that she may need, Lord, we just pray that lift this up to you, Father God, that you would bring divine connections to help her with these things, Father God, and also for that wisdom that she needs to know how to bring it all together in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we just thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, let nothing be broken. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I know how about moving. Lots of markers and labeling, and doing it with plenty of time. Yeah, I mean, yes. You have to start with many weeks in advance. But we pray that God will help you. Yes.
Amen.
Yes, that's a tap. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you like prayer for?
That's it. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it.
You're welcome. I pray that God will help you. And I know how that is. That's a lot of work. So
I don't drive. I pray that I need somebody to drive.
Okay, you need somebody to buy it? Well, we pray for those people that need it, that God will bring them.
I need somebody to drive, like the U-Haul when you move. I don't see enough to drive, so that's the problem I'm having.
Okay, maybe ask somebody at church that might be willing to do that.
Maybe,
family member. Yeah, I remember one time that I had to move. And they were telling us that they weren't going to renew our contract, and my husband was off at war. And I couldn't do it by myself, and I had just days. And do you know the people at church came, and they helped put everything. We had a few trips with the truck. They put everything, helped clean up and everything, and helped set it up in the new house. I was like, my God. I wouldn't have never been able to. That was God. That was God. So, Lord, I just pray that you did it for me, Father God, that you do it for my sister, that you help people to make themselves available to her, Father God. In Jesus' name. And put people's names in her mind, Father God, that will be willing to help, Father God. You just impress them, Father God, and show her who to call in Jesus' name. Amen. It makes it so much easier if you get boxes. And sometimes, you can find boxes that people have left on the side of the road that you don't have to buy these boxes. So that'll help you too to prepare yourself for that. All right, Jacqueline.
Yeah. All right.
All right. God bless you, my dear.
God bless you too. Good night.
Good night. All right. My next caller is. Oh, wait a minute. Where did I go? See, I like writing them down so that I know. Oh, 803-991. Let's see. That's the next one. 803-991. Your name and where you're from.
Hello, Carmen. It's Angela, South Carolina.
Hi, Angela.
Hello, how are you doing?
All right. Good in you. Let me mute you and I'll come back. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Angela. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in Angela's life, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Father God. I see, and I thank you, Lord. Angela, angels, Angela. I see angels. I see the word protection. Something about angels and protection in the name of Jesus, Lord, whatever that is, or for whoever that is, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, for the protection, Father God, for Angela or for her loved one or whoever that is, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, I just see wings covering, like that protection, wings covering. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for what you're doing, either in Angela or whoever that is that the angel is covering. Thank you, Father God, for that protection in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's almost like if it's a family or something, that I see the angel covering it under the wings. I can't see the person, but I see the person and the wings covering it. Angels. It's an angel. Thank you, Lord. The Lord, Father God, thank you, Father God, for the protection that you send through angels, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Angela and her family member's life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, Angela, how are you?
Hi, Carmen, I'm good. How are you?
Good,
thank you for
good.
That word.
A bit tired.
It is
yeah,
the weekend.
I work late night. Well, I work graveyard, so I'm up till maybe up to 9 in the morning, and then that's my sleepy time at 9 in the morning, and somebody called me today, and they came knocking on my door, so I only got 3 hours of sleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're doing good.
No, but I'm fine. I'm not going to be so fine at the end of my shift, maybe. But I'm fine. Well, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I think you were talking about my dad when you were saying about the angels protecting him. Now he's been in my prayers a lot because of what he's dealing with and stuff. So,
What's going on with your dad?
Well, he's become more lethargic, kind of like can't move a lot, and he has diabetes and blood pressure and cholesterol and stuff, and you know, trying to keep him motivated and keep him just motivated and stuff, but he needs a little bit more help, but praying for him and ask God to send the angels to be with him and help him get up in the morning. So yeah, that's
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? For some reason, I've come across a lot of people. And you know what? The other day, I went for a checkup. And because I'm a security officer, and so they saw my uniform. And the nurse said, you work nights? And I go, yeah, I'm at the graveyard. And she goes, I used to work nights, and I end up with diabetes, she tells me. And I was this girl lost it. She's what is she on? So, but I said, let me look on this online. And sure enough, I found studies that were saying that, and night shift, mind you, not everybody can do night shift.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that can do it and they're fine. But one of the things that I've learned from where I work, the people that also work there, they are given bottles of vitamin D. Because apparently you don't get your sunshine, and so it's necessary for us to take vitamin D. And that also helps us to stay healthy and prevent a lot of things from happening. So I looked into it, and I was like, no wonder I can't make it with this. This is really rough. I'm finding, and as you get older, it's rougher. So I'm like, I started reading, and I saw one of the people that are working there, they have diabetes. And I've been hearing a lot about diabetes, too. So I've heard that depending on what you eat, you can actually, if it hasn't been children diabetes, when juvenile diabetes, there's ways of many times, if you catch it in time, to reverse these things. And it's what we eat.
Right.
So maybe you're doing research on that and talking to your doctor about, it to be in agreement. The certain foods that you can eat. I know that cinnamon is very good for people that have diabetes. It's excellent.
Right.
Many can't get away from the pastry, so they don't use the frosting, but they'll use like cinnamon rolls with cinnamon in it and infuse that with that. It's, cinnamon tea. It's very good for people with diabetes. So it has to be something with the eating habits.
Yeah. Well, he worked the night shift for years. He worked the graveyard shift when I was in school. Yeah, when I was in high school, my dad he never was the type of man to sit home. We had a big family, so he worked nights. He was never home during the day, and he never was a big sweetie either. They say he's a diabetic one, and they say that doctors don't even know where that comes from. To be a diabetic one. Now, two, you can kind of do a diet thing and correct it, but the doctors are baffled at diabetes one because they don't understand it. They don't know. They say it's not so much an immune system. Well, I think it's an immune system thing, but they don't understand. They don't know how to give a diagnosis for the diabetes one as far as how to cure it. That's what their prognosis was. But diabetes two is very familiar. But
we got Dr. Jesus that can cure it.
Exactly. Yes. And my dad, I know about the graveyard that.
Yeah, I didn't know about that, and that's why I'm getting out of that job and moving on to something else, because I notice it, and it, diabetic people, it affects their feet and their circulation. So they have to walk a lot and eat certain foods and just keep it moving, because it does something to your feet, and you get like swelling and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that it was rough at the end of the shift. So I'm like, Lord, I'm getting out of this. And so God is giving me wisdom. He used that nurse to explain. Luckily, I haven't been doing this very long. So I was like, okay, this is time for me to, I need to listen. Because sometimes God will tell you stuff and you don't realize, and you don't do it, and you continue doing it because I know that I let go of one thing, God's going to open the door for another. So I believe that God's going to help him in the name of Jesus. He's going to help him as he – there's a lot of things doctors say that can happen, but in the name of Jesus, it's going to – God is protecting him. And, Lord, I just pray for Angela's dad, Father God, that you just touch him. Father God, that you touch his blood. Father God, that your blood will touch his blood, Father God, and that slowness, that sluggishness in the blood, Father God, we just pray, Father God, that you move that, that you give him good circulation in his legs, in his knees, in his back, Father God, all throughout his body, Father God, in his mind. I pray that you protect his heart, his brain, his organs, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, for his feet, Father God, that the blood will flow through the blood, through the toes, Father God, through the feet, in the name of Jesus. I pray the continual protection, Father God, over his health, Father God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Father, for what you're doing in his life. And I pray that you give him wisdom to eat the right foods, that not what the doctors say, but what you say, Father God. And you give us healing. You say it in your word that you desire that we prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. So we pray, Father God, heal his soul, touch his soul, touch his body, his spirit. Father God, touch him from in the inside out, Father God. Bring healing in his body, Father God. And I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. So we just got to keep on praying. That complete healing, and it's not what the doctors say, because they can't they can't do the things that God can do.
Amen.
Amen.
That
makes sense what you're saying. You see what I just said about the night shift. So if anybody's listening, consider that, you know, that's rough. We're not meant to, unless it's God telling you that he wants you to fast and he wants you to pray overnight, there's an anointing to do that. But that you just do it because you need to work and do all this stuff, I mean, unless you have a call to do that, that's different. But normally, I can't handle it. So I'm moving out of that. I could see it. I could feel it. And as soon as I rest up, I'm fine again. But, you know, over time, the body gets bombarded with that. So in Jesus' name, we pray for that healing. We pray for that healing over him. In Jesus' name. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah, he is protecting him, because I saw the angel and the wings covering that. I couldn't see the person's face, but I saw the angels. It's almost like if they were hugging them.
Oh, wow.
Like they were hugging them with their wings over that person. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your prayers are working.
Yes.
Angela, don't
stop. Thank you, Lord. I won't.
I remember one time I was praying for somebody, and this person was in witchcraft, right? And he had left all that. But at night, these people would astral project into his room and attack him. And so he had a lot of issues. So I started praying for him. Me and my girlfriend on Friday nights, we would pray. We prayed. I said, Lord, send him an angel to protect him so that he can have rest. And do you know, when I called him on the next day, that was a Saturday, I go, hey, did you see, did you feel anything different? He says, oh, I saw an angel next to my bed. He was just standing there. And I was laughing because that was what I had seen. So,
right.
You know, it's confirmation for you what you're doing. Continue praying for him.
I will. Yes. Thank you so much.
Yes. Well, God bless you, girl. Is there anything
God
else
bless.
You'd like me to pray about?
No, thank you so much. I felt the fire and Holy Ghost on that prayer. Thank you. Yes,
oh, amen, amen. That was God. Thank you, Lord. All right, girl. Well, God bless you. You have a wonderful week.
God bless you, too. Thank you, Carmen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Next caller, 951-966, your name and where you're from.
I think
951. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. See, it gets to be a little much sometimes. No, Block Talk didn't let it go. All right. Now it went. All right. 951-966. See, I clicked that one, but the one on top opened up.
Hi, this
951-966. Hi,
Regina. How are you?
Good, and you? All right. Give me a minute, and I'll place you on mute. All right. Thank you, Father, for Regina. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Regina's heart, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the changes that are going about in her heart, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, those changes. The person that she was before, she's no longer, Father God, because you've changed her heart, Father God. Thank you, Lord. I see a vibrant heart beating. I thank you, Lord, for that vibrant heart beating strong. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I believe this has to do with some spiritual matters. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her heart, Father God, the changes, the things that you're changing, the things that used to be that are no longer, in the name of Jesus. Those things in her heart, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that even others will notice that change. They'll say, what happened to her? There's been a change in Regina. Thank you, Lord. So I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in her heart, in that beating heart, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And amen. Hey, Regina.
Amen. Hello. Amen.
Amen. How are you?
Wow. I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah,
I
saw a beating heart, and it was bright red. It was red, and it was beating,
yeah.
And it was strong. I think this has to do with some spiritual thing, and people are going to notice that. I don't know what you're doing lately, but God sees it.
Mm.
God is seeing that. Amen. And that's the spiritual beating heart that you have to have, and that will be noticed by others. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you need prayer for anything?
Well, you know, I have my daughters on my heart. I guess they would make better choices. Yeah, my oldest and my youngest.
Okay. All right. And your mother's heart. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe that's what I'm seeing, the red heart. Usually red has to do, you know, with love, with the love. And so that maybe that's that mother's heart that you're having. And so, Father God, in the name of Jesus, you see Regina's heart, Father God. You hear her prayers. We just pray, Father God, for these daughters. We lift them up to you. You know every single thing that is in her heart about her daughters, Father God, that she's talked to you about, that she's lifted up to you, Lord. And we come in agreement, Father God, that you would just touch these girls, draw them in the way they should go, Father God. Remove them from paths that may not be the paths that are correct or the paths that lure them into other things, Father God. We just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you touch these young ladies, that that even protect them from themselves, Father God. So sometimes we, as young people, sometimes we think we know more and we know best. And Father God, we just pray that you protect them from themselves, because sometimes we, the older people, know that we've made mistakes. And we just pray, Father God, that you gently bring them back into the place where they should be, that they are willing, in the name of Jesus, to walk in the ways of God. And Father God, not to hear the voice of a stranger, but the voice of God they will hear, in Jesus' name. I thank you for that. I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. I thank you for raising them up, Father God, as a strong women of God. I thank you, Father God, that there will be strong women, Father God, for a good influence for the kingdom of God. I pray, Father God, that the ungodly relationships, that you keep them away in the name of Jesus until they're strong in the Lord, and strong in the Lord in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for that loving heart of their mother. Continue touching her. And, Lord, give her little surprises. Let her see, Father God, that her prayers are not going unanswered, but that you are listening. We just thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And bless their household, Father God, their finances, and their and anything, protect their possessions in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Is there anything else, Regina? All right. All right. Well, you have a wonderful week. And call us back. And be blessed in Jesus' name. All right. All right.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night. Amen. 864-313, your name and where you're from.
Name is Walter, South Carolina.
Walter. Thank you, Lord. I'll put you on mute and then I'll come back to you. Thank you, Lord, for Walter from South Carolina, Father God. We lift up your son, Father God, to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. I see, I thank you, Lord, for the something about construction. I'm not sure if that's spiritual construction or physical construction. Something about construction in the name of Jesus. Work in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. 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 That's all I'm getting, like construction, something about work. I'm not sure if it's that you're looking for work or construction or if it's a matter of something that God is constructing in your heart or in your life. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Walter's life, Father God, where you're building. And it's at the beginning stages. You're building. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'm not getting much more. All right, so let's go to Walter. Walter, how are you? Hello, Walter?
Yeah.
Yeah, how are you?
Not good.
I'm sensing a loss. And I sense that also the Lord is wanting you to move to start doing what you need to do to construct your life. He wants you to construct your life, Walter. That's what I'm sensing. I think that's what I was seeing, something spiritual. He wants you to start your life, construct, and you're at the beginning stages of it. Talk to me, Walter. What's going on?
I feel like a loser.
I know some days that.
I fought for my mom. I fought with her for 2 years. And she just passed.
Due to a lot of
neglect. Damn them people, man. I mean, a guy like this, I told him over and over and over, there's something wrong with her lungs. I was right there with her, and I still didn't get it. I get to tell him, I said, why are you killing her lungs? They gave her so much IV, I said, she's supposed to be getting better. And then not only did she get worse, it just prolonged it. And she ended up dying because her heart beat so hard. They were wanting to put her in the ICU. I said, no, you ain't going to put her down there because I know you're going to finish her if you put her down there. Because I was monitoring everything they were doing. I watched everything they did. And it took them over a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, just to take a simple CAT scan to find out that she was constipated. I kept on telling them, my God, she's constipated. You got to do something. She bloated. She bloated up real big. Her peg tube started backing up. They couldn't even feed her. And, it was one thing to another, to another, to another. They could have gave her a TPA shot due to the stroke. That's what hit her. It was all demonic. I mean, I saw so much stuff, man. Right before she had the stroke, I started seeing, it seemed like every time we got a hit, I know who's doing it, too. I know who's doing it. Someone right here is in management. And I talked to someone in the apartment complex. And I kept on seeing the space. And said, I said, God, why am I seeing this and who's doing it? He kept on showing me the office. The only thing is, right before she had a stroke, I saw someone in spirit pointing this big rifle right at my head. I said, dear God, I'm getting ready to be shot right through the window. So I moved to the side praying. And then when nothing happened, I said, okay, it's more than that. Something's getting ready to happen here. I don't know what it is. But I could see me. I saw me, not my mom. So I thought this was coming after me. Next thing I knew, the very next day, if I'm mistaken, it's when she had the stroke, exactly 11:07.
Uh-huh.
I knew something was wrong because her eyes fixed. And for 20 days, I fought for her in the hospital. I left twice just to come home long enough to get something to eat, wash some clothes, and go back. I would never leave her.
Man.
It was just climbing.
Walter, you know what?
What?
You know, Walter, you're not a loser. You are blessed because you know what? That's exactly what God wants us to do, to be a blessing to our parents, to honor them. You honored your mom. I mean, there were some things that were out of your control, but you are, in God's eyes, God sees you, you know, as not a loser. You are a blessed man. You blessed your mom. You know, and sometimes we tried the best. I lost my mom in August, and I tried helping them and, you know, and all that, but there was nothing I could do at the end, you know? And so we feel like, oh, I could have done something more. What could I have done? Maybe, you know, and all that goes through your mind. But you know what? If that didn't go through your mind, that means you wouldn't have cared about her. But you are blessed. And, you know, there is a blessing that the Word of God talks about. Let me see if I find it. Find it in the Word. Where it talks about that blessing. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. So you've done what you were supposed to do. You've honored your mother. And God's going to bless you with that blessing of long life. And so this is what I was seeing, like construction. You're in the beginning stages of construction. I believe that was your life. You're beginning a new life now. God is helping you to start a new life now. Yeah, I am so sorry. I know the pain of losing a parent, and I'm so sorry. I know how that is. You're going to have a time of grieving, and you got to allow yourself to grieve, because if you don't, it'll pop up later on. And every once in a while, it'll come, but it won't be so bad. And you're going to miss her? Yeah, I miss her. Just the other day was my birthday, and I miss my mom because she was the one that gave me birth on that day. So that was tough. That was tough. And there's going to be days, you know, that it's going to be rough. But God is giving you a different thing now. You're going to be rebuilding your life now. That's what I was seeing, construction, like either getting a job in construction or something spiritual or maybe both. You need to move now on. I know it's not easy, and because you were doing everything for your mom, but God has good things for you. He's got a new life for you, okay? You were a good son to her, so don't feel like a loser. Don't feel like you're a loser. You've been a wonderful son to her. You were there taking care of her, making sure that everything was okay for her. And your hands were limited, but it was her time, possibly, you know. The Lord allowed it, so. But it's a new season for you, okay? Do you need prayer for anything else, Walter? You want to say something else?
I didn't get on the lease while I was here, while she was alive. And they fought me last time I tried to get it. I said, well, we got to talk to your mom. By then, she was already in the hospital and couldn't talk. I need to stay here. All her stuff is here. It is easier for me to stay here than go back to my own home. And so I need the grace of God to deal with these people. And so I can stay right here, not move, and fill out the paperwork. Just let me stay right here instead of having to move and move into another apartment.
Oh, so, but you have another apartment?
No, that's not what I said. Oh. I don't see, from what I was told,
mm-hmm.
I would have to move, reapply, then come back instead of, you know, I'm already here. You know, why not just grace me and give me, you know,
yeah, because of the hardship. Yeah. Well, pray.
I mean, why move out? Why move out and move back in? I just
mm-hmm.
don't. Anyway, there was so much going on.
You move to another apartment. Maybe another apartment that's painted and things like that. Maybe you can move into another apartment that's, you know, better
now,
and painted and all.
Ma'am, you're missing my point. It's too much to do that. I'm 65 years old, okay? It's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
I got health issues. It's just not a good idea.
Okay, well, we'll pray and see what the Lord will do, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Walter to you, Father God. We just pray that you touch his heart, Father God, the grieving. And we just pray for your peace over him right now from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Father. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, with you hear all the issues that he has, especially now with the passing away of his mom, Lord, that he would like to stay in that apartment, Father God. We just pray, Father God, that you give him favor, that you would give him favor, Father God, with this place, Father God, that they would allow him to stay there, Father God, that they be understanding, Father God, for all the time that he was there with his mom, that they be understanding, Father God, with the passing away of his mom and his health issues, Lord. We just pray, Father God, that you make a way for him, Father God. And I just pray that whatever works out, Father God, we just pray, Father God, that you continue to give him that peace and help him to move on to the next stages of his life, Father God. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in his life, Father God. Thank you and bless him, Father God, for he was a good son to his mom, Father God. And you say to honor your father and your mother, and he has done that with his mother, Father God. And we ask you, Father God, to bless him with a good, long, healthy life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Is there anything else you would like prayer for, Walter? And again, I'm so sorry for your loss. I know that's rough.
Well, or come down here, God put something on me that I ain't never seen before. And I've been under a lot of anointings. Well, the original stroke took place March 30th of 2020. And I saw that coming too, but I knew what I was seeing. This one just took place. She had another stroke, and they didn't even give it a TPA, which could have reversed that stroke if they gave it to her. But we got there in that time frame, and they know better. They know. They should have known by looking at it that she had a stroke. They should have known that. And, you know, I want to get a malpractice lawyer because they could have spared her life. They could have turned it around right there. But that TPA has got to be given in a very brief time. And we were there. I didn't even think about it because I didn't think she had a stroke, to be honest with you. But anyway, my point is she had a stroke on the 12th, and she just died the 31st. About 7:15 in the morning.
2 days ago?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is still fresh. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, this is fresh on your heart. I'm so sorry. I just pray God, the peace of God over you. Yeah. Wow.
I don't even know if she's got enough insurance money. I don't know. I've got one more policy of hers, and I got to call them Monday. Because when I got home, that's all I did was, you know, I found the other two that I knew of. And I just found this one last night. I said, my, there's another one here. But just, I mean, they're talking about $7,500. At this point in time, I only found $4,000 provided she didn't borrow against those two. Because she's been sick a lot of years. And when she bought that insurance back in the 80s, funerals didn't cost that much back then as it does today. Things is, you know, everything's gone up, right? So they don't give you increase on that. Like some things, it goes up with the, inflation, but that don't move, So the best thing to have done was if she could afford it, she should have got something like $20,000, But if this other one, if there's any value to it at all, it needs to be every bit about $4,000. And if it ain't, I don't know what's going to happen. He made a suggestion for cremation. I was like, she don't want to be cremated.
Well, I pray that if there's anything else that's in the house that you need to find, that God will direct you to those papers, that the Holy Spirit would guide you in the name of Jesus to find the things that you need to find, and that God will make it clear to you where everything is so that you won't find it later on, that you'll find it now when you need it. In Jesus' name, Lord, let that happen, Father God. Let that happen. Help him, Father God, and give him clarity of mind, Father God, because it's rough when we lost a loved one, Father God. I just pray you give him clarity of mind, that you help him to make good choices, Father God, that no one will take advantage of him, Father God, in this time of grieving, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, for that. I thank you, Lord. I pray that, Father God, that you would also send people to help him, Father God, somehow, some way, and make a way for people to come and help him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yeah, that's a bit, that it's rough to do all that at this time. But stay clear-headed and stay prayed up. Let the Lord guide you. Amen. And we've already prayed for all that.
Yeah, something. I don't even feel like praying. I've been sleeping. Uh-huh. I've been staying in bed 11, 12 hours because I just went the last 2 years. I've been wide open, going. And mine was high maintenance. Uh-huh. She was very high maintenance. And I just, no one helping me. Literally, nobody helped me. Our church refused to help us. She might get COVID. And the Lord spoke up to me. He said, God didn't give you a spirit of fear. I said, just come with caution. I said that so many times. They would call us, because mom was homebound. They would call her, and they quit calling. I mean, the anointing was so strong on me, they were calling to pray for us,
The Lord just turned it around, had me pray for them. And at the end, I said, we need someone out here to help us. I need someone to cook dinner, you know, something. So this is, it's wearing me out. And
I'm so sorry.
And it got to the point they were like, they didn't call no more. But yet I was praying for them. The anointing was so strong on me, I actually prayed for them. And they were like, wow, okay. And I'm not bragging on me because I can't, you know, I wasn't in charge of that, what the anointing did. But they failed her. She's got a niece that came over here that was ripping her off. I didn't even know about it. And the Lord let me know she is ripping you or mother off. I asked the Lord to prove it to me, and he more than proved it to me. And so she just called me and said, well, I'll come over there and help you, but under these conditions, I didn't even want her here. I didn't even answer the call, not going to. I didn't even want her here. She stole from her other siblings by not giving what the oral parent said, the oral will. You are to share this. She didn't. She got first pick, and that's what she kept, and none of them ever got it. I was like, that's a thief, man. So she's over here picking at the bones of my mom while she was still alive. So it's been a lot. It's been a whole lot going on. No one showed up when I needed them. She was alive, and now they want to come over here now. I'm like, how do I handle this? I already know how to handle it, man. I'm angry. I'm trying not to be. And this is the other question I want to ask you about. And I'm going to ask you a fair question because I know God's done it to me on a few occasions, and I'm there now. Has the Lord ever taken you and you feel like you got stripped down, you couldn't even feel the anointing like you could, yet he was trying to get you, he was pruning you inside? You ever been there?
Yeah, well, there's been things that have happened, and it has been a hard walk, a certain seasons, but our faith is what we have to rely on, trusting that God is doing what he says he's going to do. And because my faith is in him, there's times where I can't, but that's when you find believers and other people to pray for you. And because sometimes you're up and sometimes they're down, but sometimes they're up and they bring you up. And so we need each other in those moments. We can't stay away from others. God didn't make it for us to just be God and us. He wants us to, you know, to be united with other believers because they may have something that we need to be lifted up or something that they have gone through that can help us to get through where we're going. So I just recommend you get back in church if you haven't been there for a while. And like we were talking about, you know, the garden, sometimes there's a lot of weeds in our garden from neglect or things that life has given us. And so we have to make our gardens pretty again. But that's through the Lord, having him guide us and being in church and allowing others to just pour into our lives at times. Sometimes we pour into others. God will have others pour out into our lives so that we can make it. You know, we can't be lone rangers. This is not the way God wants us to be. You know, united we stand, divided we fall. So, you know, seek that church, go back. This is a time for new beginnings for you. And it's rough, but you're going to see a light at the end of the tunnel when things start getting better. Right now, it's still, you know, rough. It's still raw. And you're going to have to go through some grieving right now. And it's a process that, you know, you go through anger, through, you know, sadness, depression. You go through a lot of different emotions, sometimes all of them at one time. But allow yourself to do it. You grieve, and then you move on while you're doing that, and you're going to have to move on. But seek your church. And let them know what you're going through. Maybe they have a grieving class or something that will help you to understand what you're going through in a better way, and so that you can get prayer and they can pour into your life at this time. This is when you need it the most. Okay?
No.
I don't think I'm going to my mom's church. They bombed out on her. They refused to come out here. So I don't know where to go, man. I'm new in this state. I come down here from North Carolina to South Carolina. I try to find some churches that but I can't leave here. I mean, now I can. Then I couldn't because of the fact I was the caregiver. So 24/7 for nearly 2 years, with the exception she was in the hospital. But anyway, what I was talking about being pruned, I just see nothing. I felt the glory. I don't know how to say this. I just don't – I'm not walking in that bubble. I mean, I've had people – I would see angels all the time. I would see angels. I'd pray for angels to be around my mom. I would do dances around my mom. I would see – I said, God put nutrition inside her. I would see these tiny little bubbles split up, and they were so small. But yet, I said, God put nutrition – whatever she's missed, hallelujah. I said, put nutrition to her body, Lord, because she can't get right food in her right now. And I saw it go into her body. I was seeing all this stuff. Anyway,
We go through seasons. We're not always in the mountaintop. There's seasons that we are up there, but then there's seasons that we're down in the valley, and that right now your season is there. But God is with you. God is with you. Wherever you are, wherever you go, he is with you. Whether you feel him or not, it's not by what you feel. It's by faith. It's by faith.
I get that. I do get that. But right now, I see nothing but ugly in me. That's all I see. I see the stuff that I sowed. I see stuff that I didn't even sow. But it's there. I was like, good God, that must be a generational curse popping up from generation before. Because I don't live like what I'm seeing in there. I'm not going to tell you what I'm seeing. But I'm seeing some pretty hard stuff. I said, God, where does this come from? I've never lived that. I've always been a gentle person in a sense of, you know, I care about people. If I see someone hurt, I actually have hurt. I feel pain. I said, Mom, why do I do that?
Normal.
She said, I do the same thing. It's called sympathy pains. And I've always been there for the underdog. If anyone was down and out, I've always tried to be there for them. And I hate the ones, you know, go against the ones that try to beat them down. And I've always been that underdog for whatever reason. I don't know why. God just made me different. And not under as being bad, but just different. But I'm seeing this stuff. I said, God, I've been seeing this since June and maybe before. But, it's been long. Dear God, it's been too long. I said, like, God, I'm tired of being here. When is refreshing
coming? Well, that's what
coming?
I'm saying. Your life is going to be different. God is doing something new. He's constructing something new, and that's what I was seeing, construction. And I wasn't quite sure what it was, if it was something physical or spiritual. So, but now that I'm talking to you, I could plainly see God is beginning something new in your life. It's at the beginning stages. That's what I was seeing, that it was construction at the beginning stages. So that's your life. And just put your hands in the hands of the Lord, and he's going to help you find a good church to help you, to support you, possibly have a class or something to help you go through this grieving. Nobody knows how this feels until they go through it. And a lot of it is like confusing. Well, why am I feeling like this? Or why am I feeling like this? Especially when you love so much that person, it's really rough. But do know God is with you, Walter. He knows what you're going through, and he's with you. And I pray for the peace of God over you. I pray, Father God, for direction, that God give you wisdom, especially now, that nothing be clouded in your mind, that you will not be clouded by grief, that you will hear and see clearly in the name of Jesus through all this pain and sorrow, in the name of Jesus. Is there anything else you would like to pray? Because we're coming to the end of the show, and I have another caller, a few callers that might want to also be prayed for, but I want to finish up with you first. Do you have anything else that you would like to say?
Yeah. I need prayer that the right people that God will orchestrate the whole burial thing, because I don't know what I'm doing. I've never been to this before. I never buried a parent. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where to start. And I went down there, and the guy said, well, you got to bring some clothes for your mother to bury her. And I said, I ain't thinking. And
anyway, because they took her from the hospital, and she had no clothes there. We went straight from here to there. And anyway, I just don't want no witches there. I don't want no witches there because everyone knew who she was, in a sense, from the hospital system. And I don't want no witches. I had enough of witches, okay? These witches.
Well, you know what, Walter, maybe Zika and the pastor, because they deal with this all the time, and maybe they might have some words of wisdom to guide you as to what to do or where to go to get the help that you need, or possibly, you know, a hand, somebody that might be able to give you a hand at that moment, or for direction. You know, so pastors usually deal with all of this all the time. And
well, I
that's the best person.
They never called me back. I've already called their church and told them what happened. That was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I still didn't get a phone call. Didn't even get a phone call. Yeah, I've already called.
Okay.
And so that was her church. Are you sensing I'm going to be able to stay here, or you sense I've got to move?
I don't sense anything. All I know is that what God was showing me, that he's rebuilding your life. There's this construction in your life, that God is building something new, and it's at the beginning stages. I didn't know about your mom passing away or anything, but that's what I sensed. I wasn't sure if it was that you were getting a job or, but that's what I saw, construction. That's what I could only tell you. Anything else, I don't sense anything about that. But I just pray in Jesus' name that God will give you the grace to get through it all, to be able to do the paperwork and the funeral from the guy without being taken advantage of in any way, form, or fashion, Lord. We just pray in Jesus' name that that paperwork that he needs, Father God, that it'll show up, that you will guide him, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, for your mercy and your grace over that home, Father God, so that he can get all this stuff done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
And let's
okay,
pray that no witches.
Huh? I'm sorry, it went through. Go ahead.
I want to pray very specifically as well that no witches show up.
Lord, we just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the right people to be surrounding them, the family, to comfort them, Father God, and that it will be a time of peace, Father, in Jesus' name, and that the people that the family don't want around, Father God, we just pray, Father God, that in your mercy that you would just lead and guide people to either go or not go, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Walter?
Thank you so much, ma'am.
You.
I appreciate your time.
I'm so, you're welcome. I'm so sorry about your mom passing away, and I pray that God will be with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good night. Have a blessed week.
Good night.
All right. Okay. All right. I have other callers if you want. I have a few more minutes. If you want to have prayer, please dial 1 on your phone, and that'll put you in the queue. Other than that, then we'll wrap it up. Let's see. Okay. 831-375, your name and where you're from.
Hi, Vivian, and I'm right now I'm in Florida.
Okay, I'm going to put you on mute real quick, and then I'll pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for Vivian, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Vivian's hands, Father God, for the creativity that's in her hand, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that you have been the one to put that creativity in her hands, Father, creating new things, beautiful things, all for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for that touch, that anointing that creates things to bless others, Father God. I just see your hands, something about your hands, things that you're working with your hands. I'm not sure what that is, but there is an anointing there. I don't know if you bake or create things with your hands, But God is using your hands to bless others in the name of Jesus. And you, I mean, you take the simple thing and make it a beautiful thing. I'm not sure what that is. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in Vivian's life, for that spirit of creativity, Father God. Creativity, those talents that you put in her, Father God. We just thank you for what you're doing in her life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me look at, where's Vivian's number? All right. Vivian, are you there?
That was really beautiful. Thank you so much.
How are you?
That really was very moving to me, very touching. I really appreciate it. That was a beautiful prayer. Thank you.
Does that sound any like anything that's going on right now?
It sounds like something that, it sounds like a natural talent of mine and that maybe I need to use again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What I saw, it was for the Lord. There was an anointing in it that God is going to do that, I guess. You know, maybe he's trying to get your attention. And he's put talents in you, and they have to do with your hands. Amen?
Yeah, amen. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
God bless. Is there anything else you would like to pray for?
God bless you. No, just that was just really beautiful. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you. All right, get going with your hands. All right, God bless.
Okay.
All right, 760-567, your name and where you're from. 760-567, are you there? Oh, wait a minute, it didn't. Okay, now.
Yes.
This Block Talk sometimes does some strange things. 760-567, your name and where you're from?
Jess from California. That's okay.
Jess from California?
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't hear you clearly. All right. Let me place you on mute and then I'll get back to you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh, Lord, I thank you for Jess from California. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm seeing like some waves, things that have maybe happened in your life. Like they feel like waves that, you know, just push you and don't let you to, you know how when you're in a wave, right, and you're in the waters and it just pushes you where you don't want to go, and it seems like life is doing that to you. And I just pray that Father God, I pray that you open her eyes up to show her that there is help. That there's help on the way, but that she has to accept that help in Jesus' name. She has to accept that help in Jesus' name. But I see the waves, like they're coming towards you, and you're like trying to be, like they want to knock you. But the help is on its way, but you need to accept the help in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Father God, for whatever that is, Lord. And I just pray, Father God, for those connections for her, Father God, that that you will let her see that things aren't always the way that they seem. And, Lord, I just bind the enemy from operating in any part of her life, Father God, right now that may be lying to her about anything, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, because our eyes are going to be open. And I thank you, Lord, because she'll be in safety in Jesus' name from those waves, Father God. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. It's like I see them right across and that you're in front of them and they're like trying to hit you to knock you down. But in Jesus' name, Lord, no, that held hand in hand with others, you will stand and you will make it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Jess from California?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Some way.
That's a very perfectly timed word. It's very tough right now for just my faith and for holding on and accepting the help and taking the baby steps that I need to take every day.
Yes. That's what I sensed the Lord was showing me, that your help is coming, but you have to accept it. And I see those waves. It's like, you know, boom, you know how the waves come in? And then you can't stand up and you're like trying to get up. And they come, another one mm-hmm. comes and you're trying to get up. And I guess the things that you're going through is what I'm seeing. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just pray for her, Father God, and those connections. I pray, Father God, that you bless her, that you keep her in the name of Jesus, and that you give her a breath of fresh air so that she can be able to stand up and make it, Father God. And I just pray, Father God, that she will hold on to the hands that are offering the help in Jesus' name. The help is coming in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anything else you like prayer for? And I'm so sorry you're going through so much.
Yeah, that it's just been a struggle to keep going. So
yeah, it kind of knocks the wind out of you, huh?
It really does.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw myself as, and I believe that I was like, what I was feeling was you. Like when you're in front of the beach and you're in the water and the waves are hitting you and you're trying to stand up, but you can't because they come one after the other. And you're like, oh, yeah. You know. So I believe that God's going to help you. But remember, you got to do your part in accepting the help.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, pretty soon we're going to be closing down here because it's going to turn off. But I'll keep talking until the end. Lord, we just pray you bless Jess. I'm from California to help her, Father God, and all her struggles, Father God. Jesus. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, just thank you. I'm going to hold fast to that one because I need that word.
Stay strong, okay, in the Lord, not in your own strength. Stay strong in the Lord. In him, you'll make it. But you can't do it with your own flesh, and you have to allow others sometimes to help. You have to allow other people to help. And that's what he makes. The body helps. The hands help. Clean the body, the eyes. The hands will clean the eyes, the feet, you know, for walking. The whole body has to work together. So God will help you. But don't reject that help, okay? Amen. I'm sorry. I get a little thing with hearing the operator saying that it's so many seconds left. Well, God bless you all. Mm-hmm. I pray that you have a wonderful week in the name of Jesus. And be blessed and call us back. We're here to minister you, to prophesy over you, and we pray for peace over you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good night, everyone. Good night.